All the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 2, Chapter 6, text number 46. This chapter is entitled The Purusha Sukta Confirmed. And today's topic will be entitled Nectar. So you see in this word nectar, there's the word ear. So we're going to hear about some nectar that we could drink through the ear. This is transcendental nectar. It's something real, something eternal. So this is the last verse of this chapter. And it said that there's two ways to know the Lord. And this chapter that we're finishing gave us one way to know the Lord as the creator. And it shows all the different things that he has created and so many living entities. And then this next chapter coming up, which Lord Brahma is going to refer to Narada Muni, is the second way to know the Lord, and that's as the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing in this world. So this is the next chapter. So Narada's name is very interesting. There's Nara and Da. So Nara means human and Da means giver. So he's the giver of the highest bhakti. This is what Narada does. So he's acting as a son of Lord Brahma to lead us to understand who the living entity is and who the supreme entity is. So as I mentioned before in a previous class, that there's only two realities. And that is what? Sorry about that. Hit the wrong number here. That is the Jiva and the Holy Name. The Holy Name. There's only two realities in this world. And the Holy Name, it's none different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything else is temporary. So, but when we mix these two things, the living entity and Krishna or his holy name, then there's some magic. There's supreme happiness and there's joy. And there's that verse, reminds me of that we used to chant in the morning. Tunde tundavani ratim vitanute tundavani labade. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore the senses become inert. Okay, so that's a little introduction. So let's chant the verse. Pradanyato yan risa amananti. Lilavataran purushasya bhumna. Apiyatam karna kashaya soshan. Anukramishyata imam supeshan. Please chant. Pradanyato yan risa ammananti. Lilavataran purusasya bhumna. Apiyatam karna kasaya sosan. Anukramishe ta imam susepsan. Vaishnavis, Tantoya Vishamananti, Shama Mamati Amatam. Pradanyata, chiefly, yan, all those, Rishi, O Narada, Amananti, worship, Lila, pastimes, Avataran, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Where were we? Oh, avataran. Incarnations. Purusasya. Of the personality of Godhead. Bhumna. The Supreme. Apiyatam. In order to be relished by you. Karna, ears. Kasaya, foul matter. Soshan, that which evaporates. Anukramishe, shall state one after another. Te, they. Iman, as they are in my heart. Supeshan, all pleasing to hear. Translation. O Narada, I now I shall state, one after another, the transcendental incarnations of the Lord, known as Lila avatars. Hearing of their activities counteracts all the foul matters accumulated in the ear. These pastimes are pleasing to hear and are to be relished. Therefore, they are in my heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As it was said in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.8, one cannot be fully satisfied by hearing unless and until one is given a chance to hear of the transcendental activities of the Lord. So Brahmaji is also trying, in this verse, to stress the importance of narrating the transcendental pastimes of the Lord as he comes and manifests himself here on the surface of the material planets. Every living entity has a tendency to hear pleasing messages, and as such, almost every one of us is inclined to hear news and talks broadcast by the radio stations. But the difficulty is that no one is satisfied at heart by hearing all these messages, all those messages. The cause of such dissatisfaction is the incompatibility of the messages with the innermost stratum of the living soul. Wow, that's so nice. The transcendental literature is especially prepared by Srila Vyasadeva to give the utmost satisfaction to the people in general by narration of the activities of the Lord, as instructed by Sri Narada Muni to Srila Vyasadeva. Such activities of the Lord are principally of two varieties. One concerns the mundane manifestation of the material creative force, and the other deals with his pastimes in the form of different incarnations in terms of the time and place. There are innumerable incarnations of the Lord, like the waves of the river flowing constantly in and out. Less intelligent persons take more interest in the creative forces of the Lord in the material world, and being disconnected from their relationship with the Lord, they put forward many theories of the creation in the name of scientific research. The devotees of the Lord, however, know well how the creative forces work. Concurrently, by the action and reaction of the material energy of the Lord, therefore they take more interest in the transcendental activities of the Lord as he incarnates himself on the surface of the material world. Srimad Bhagavatam is the history of such activities of the Lord. And people who take interest in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam clear their hearts of accumulated mundane filth. There are 1,001 rash literatures on the market. But one who has taken interest in the Srimad Bhagavatam loses all interest in such filthy literatures. Sri Brahmaji is thus attempting to narrate the principal incarnations of the Lord so that they may be drunk by Narada as transcendental nectar. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Purusha Sukta Confirmed. Om Jnana Tamadanda Shaganjana Salakaya Chakshushun Militamena Tasmaya Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Upagada Mayam Dadati Swat Pudantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa tubhyascha kripasindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So the verse again. O Narada, now I shall state one after another the transcendental incarnations of the Lord known as Lila avatars. Hearing of their activities counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the ear. These pastimes are pleasing to hear and are relished, therefore they are in my heart. So as we go back to the purport here, Srila Prabhupada first refers to the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 5, text number 8. So let's go to that verse. Actually, let's go back here. There we go. So this is where Narada is instructing Srila Vyasadeva. And this is what he says to Vyasadeva. You have not actually broadcast the sublime and spotless glories of the personality of Godhead. That philosophy which does not satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord is considered worthless. So we see, we want to find out what is reality, what is really real. As we mentioned, a question someone asked, what is reality? Reality is the difference between your desires and how the world actually is. So we're actually learning what the world is actually like. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about the individual soul and the supreme soul, which we talked about. That's actually the two realities in this world. And it's said here that the personality of Godhead is constitutionally one of being the eternal servitor and the eternal master. So this is what we are. We are the eternal servitor, the living entity, and the eternal master is the supreme personality of Godhead. And so the Lord expanded himself and also many living beings just in order to accept service from them. And Prabhupada says in the purport there that this alone can satisfy both the living, I mean the Lord, and the living being. He also mentions, dry philosophical speculations, even on the transcendental subject of the Absolute, have very little attraction without directly dealing with the glorification of the Lord. So here, the importance of actually associating with the Lord. And we'll see as his names and his pastimes, that's the only thing that's satisfying. Not philosophical speculations. You know, what you think it is like. The Absolute realized as impersonal Brahman or localized supersoul, Paramatma, is less productive of transcendental bliss than the supreme personal realization of his glories. Yeah, and we see how there was a nice verse from the third canto which mentioned how the Lord's feet, which is non-different than his name or his form, and they act like thunderbolts, which can shatter the mountain of sins stored in the mind. So therefore, we should meditate for a long time on the lotus feet of the Lord. And how? Is by hearing and chanting for a long time. So we go back to the purport here. And Srila Prabhupada mentions here how that we're inclined to listen to the radio and so many different things, mundane literatures. So let's see here where there's... Yeah, it causes, he says, the cause of such dissatisfaction is the incompatibility of the message with the innermost stratum of the living soul. Such a nice sentence, huh? That's so powerful. So we can see that today in this age of Kali, how people are listening to so many different things. In fact, there was a study done. Actually, there's been many studies done of people, how they're experiencing more and more depressive symptoms, you know, and suicide rates since the smartphones were introduced. So they did a study from 2007, they did it 2015, where they found that 92% of teenage young adults, they own smartphones. And because of this, there was a rise of depressive symptoms, which correlate to the smartphone adaption. So they did this study at this San Diego University, this psychologist, and they did over a time period, there was a sharp spike in reports of students seeking help at college and university counseling centers, principally for depression and anxiety. So it jumped 30% between 2010 and 2015. So we see in Kali Yuga, we're getting a constant poison coming at us just at your fingertips with so many of these devices and computers like that. So we need to understand the importance of hearing transcendental messages, which you're going to hear in the next chapter from Lord Brahma. And this is the medicine to actually cure the distressed mind. And we need a very powerful process to cleanse this consciousness. So people are surfing the web, as Prabhupada used to see the surfers. And they would say, look at the surfers. And Prabhupada said, no, they are sufferers. So the holy name is like a lifeguard. And it saves us from this ocean of birth and death, this bhava roga. So continuing back to the purport, Srila Prabhupada says here that these incarnations that we want to hear about, he says these are innumerable incarnations of the Lord, and they're like the waves of the river flowing constantly in and out. So this is also showing, we see how Krishna and his expands himself in so many ways, in like ways and waves, like we see here. So many different incarnations. Just to bring to light what Srila Prabhupada's saying there, the purport. So if you go to the next purport here, Srila Prabhupada also mentions how there are 1,001 rash literatures on the market. But one who has taken interest in the Srimad Bhagavatam loses all interest in such filthy literatures. So here we can see. Go back here. So here we see there's so many rash literatures, but and so many available, 1,001, Srila Prabhupada says, available in the market. But this is all accumulated filth, Prabhupada describes it as. Or you can see, you know, literature for crows. You can see a few crows in the image there by the trash. So in other words, it's like trash literature. It's filthy. So this is what's coming into our minds, through our ears, through our eyes in so many ways. But we have to get into the habit of reading, hearing, and chanting. You see, all the habits we develop in our youth, they actually come out in old age. It said, old habits die hard. So we must learn to practice as soon as we can, reading, chanting. And why are there so many books written by Srila Prabhupada? One time Srila Prabhupada asked Hansa Duda, he said, why have I written so many books? So he gave him so many different answers, and Prabhupada said, no, no, no. He said, the reason why I've written all these books is just to convince you to chant Hare Krishna. So chanting Hare Krishna is not just one of our activities that we perform in devotional service, or just one of our devotional activities. No, it's the prime activity, chanting Hare Krishna. So it's so important. So we see here, we have an ocean of scriptures. And if we churn them for a long time, we'll get the ultimate. What is the ultimate churning of the ocean nectar? They get the pot of nectar. That's what they get from the ocean of milk. So the holy name is like that. So when we're churning the yogurt, which is represented by the scriptures, and the churning rod is like our mind, and when we put the pot of Shastra and it's been churned for a long time, we'll get the essential nectar to appreciate the holy name. And Krishna in his form of the holy name. Because we're in this material world, there's this really nice prayer by King Kulashekar, and he addresses us, Hey Martya. That's how the verse starts. Hey Martya, Paramam Hitam Sri Nuta Vo. So he says, O mortal beings, like we're, O death, you know, like we're O Martya. O mortal beings, you have submerged yourself fully in the ocean of material existence, which is filled with the waves of misfortune. Please hear as I briefly tell you how to attain your supreme benefit. Just put aside your various attempts at gaining knowledge and instead begin constantly chanting the mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya, and bow down to the Lord. So we're in this ocean, so it doesn't matter how expert swimmer you are, nobody can survive long. Yeah. Hey, Martya. Yeah. That's how the verse starts. It's text 16 in the Mukulamala Stotra. So it's very nice. There's a wonderful purport given there too, but we don't have time to read it. So as we see here, we're churning the Shastras. We're busy reading. We're studying, memorizing. But if we're careful, if we're not careful to not neglect the holy name, which is present, then it's just like scholarly reading. You know, it's reading, but we're not chanting, right? You're just trying to memorize verses, do these things. But there's devotional reading, which means that we're reading to increase our faith and to help and encourage others to read and chant. So in the beginning, as we're reading, like we see in the churning of the ocean, there may be some poison coming out. And, you know, the form of lethargy, you know, we're disinterested, it's difficult, you know, following the rules and regulations, you know, we have ill speech, we can't, you know, we have that tendency to find fault, you know, so many things. But we see Lord Shiva, he was very optimistic and he was very enthusiastic to drink the ocean of milk. And he was powerful and fit to do it, this Vishva. And why? Because what was always constantly on Lord Shiva's lips? Anyone know? He was just constantly. The holy name, yes. You know which one? Yeah, Rama. Rama. So that's this Vishrama. So Visha is like poison, Rama. You know, it constantly destroys that. So this is what's happening. So he always constantly had the name of Ram on his lips, on his mouth, and, you know, his tongue like that. So the name Ram is so powerful. I mean, we were talking about this chapter kind of refers to the Vishnu Sahasranam, you know, all the creations of the material world. So this Vishnu Sahasranam is equal to three names of Ram. Just say Rama, Rama, Rama. It's like the whole Sahasranam. So this is what... So Ra actually means, like, can represent Ra, Ma, and then Ra is like all the sins are leaving your mouth as you chant Ra. And then Ma, you close your mouth so that no more sins come back in. Rama. So this is Lord Shiva so attached to hearing about Krishna that it's described that he even left Mount Kailash to sit next to Sanatan Goswami and just to hear him chant. You know, so he's so nice. He just wants, and he bestows mercy on the devotees that chant. So it's also described how Lord Shiva has a Ramayana, and it has 100 crore verses. Like 1 crore is equal to 10 million. So he had this Ramayana that 100 crore verses. Can you imagine that? We know the Mahabharata just has like 400,000. It's like 4 lakh. You know, and the Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000. So we know Lord Shiva thinks of the whole universe as his family. So he wanted to share all these verses. So he gave 33 crore to the upper planetary systems. He gave 33 crore to the middle planetary systems. He gave 33 crore to the lower planetary systems. And then he only had 1 crore left. And, you know, Parvati was thinking, you're going to keep some for us? And he said, yeah, sure, but there's like 1 crore. So he gave 33 lakh again to the upper, 33 lakh to the middle, 33 lakh to the lower. And then he was left, you know, with 33,000. So then he decided, okay, I got to distribute these. He just likes to give and give. So he was giving 333 to the upper planet, 333 to the middle, 333. So he's left with what? 1 verse. And he said, oh, this verse has 33 syllables. So let me give this, you know, give the syllables to, you know, so many of those syllables, 10 to the top, 10, you know, to the lower, like that. And he was left with 2 syllables. And she was like, well, what are we going to do now? She goes, I have 2 syllables. And he goes, would you believe that these 2 syllables is actually the entire Ramayana? He says, no, really? He says, yeah, just the syllables Ra, Ma. And the syllable Ra, Ma is the essence of all scriptures. And that's where all fortune comes from. So this is what the nice example of Lord Shiva gives us. And because we just had experienced Lord Ram's appearance day, so, you know, we can see who is a great devotee of Lord Ram. And who really wanted to get the nectar. So we're given the true nectar in life in the names of, you know, Krishna, Hari, Rama. You know, we have, you know, all these names are given in the Maha Mantra. And this is the nectar. And what is the poison? Everything else except the holy name. You see, everything else. Anything that's taken us away from the holy name, then that's poison. So that's, where we're being attached to temporary things in the material world. So we have to be eager to drink the holy name, not give it up and try to drink poison, speaking, hearing, reading, other things in the material world. Because the name is the greatest ornament on our tongue, in which we read that verse. Was it Rupa Goswami? Tunde, Tunda, yeah. So, so we're encouraged to actually chant with our heart, not just with our lips. So we should pray to get a taste for the holy name, to get pure devotion. There's four levels of chanting. It's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The fourth level of chanting is we're chanting because we're afraid. You know, I'm supposed to do this or I'll go to hell. I better chant. You know, so let me chant Hare Krishna. Or the third reason, the third is material desire. Because, you know, I chant, I could get free from my sins. There's so many benefits to chanting. You know, you get liberation, you get so many different things. So that's material desire. And then the second one, like I'm going from the four, third, second. The second is because we do it out of duty. It's like, you know, my spiritual master told me to do this. I better do it. I'm not doing much else, but I better chant. I'm doing it out of duty. So, and then the first and most important reason why we should chant or how we should chant is to please the Lord. So we're simply chanting to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not for any other reason. So this, we have Lord Ram. It's described that the name Rama is so powerful. They say that we see the planets, we're understanding how the planets are built, and we see that all the planets are held up by Anantasesha, right? But who's holding up Anantasesha? Kurmadev. So he's resting on Kurma. So it's described Anantasesha represents Ra and Kurma represents Ma. So Rama sustains the universe. But not only that, it sustains the universe of our devotional consciousness in the heart of the pure devotee. So we should pray like that. So just to get some nectar for Lord Ram, there's this verse in this next chapter coming up, which is glorifying Ram, one of the appearances of Lord Ram. So I'd like to just read a few verses that relate to this. So this is text 23 of the next chapter. Due to his causeless mercy upon all living entities within the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his plenary extensions, appeared in the family of Maharaj Ikshvaku as the Lord of his internal potency. And Ikshvaku as the Lord of his internal potency, Sita. Under the order of his father, Maharaj Dasarath, he entered the forest and lived there for considerable years with his wife and younger brother. Ravana, who is very materially powerful with 10 heads on his shoulders, committed a great offense against him and was thus ultimately vanquished. So Prabhupada says in the purport there, I'll just read one paragraph. Sita is Lakshmiji, or the goddess of fortune, but she is never to be enjoyed by any living being. She is meant for being worshipped by the living being along with her husband, Sri Ramachandra. A materialistic man like Ravana does not understand this great truth, but on the contrary, he wants to snatch Sita Devi from the custody of Ram and thus incurs great miseries. The materialists who are after opulence and material prosperity may take lessons from the Ramayana, that the policy of exploiting the nature of the Lord without acknowledging the supremacy of the Supreme Lord is the policy of Ravana. Ravana was very advanced materially, so much so that he turned his kingdom Lanka into pure gold or full material wealth. But because he did not recognize the supremacy of Lord Ramchandra and defied him by stealing his wife Sita, Ravana was killed And all his opulences and power were destroyed. So not only is it not real, but it causes so much misery. Anything that's not, you know, related to the holy name or to the spirit soul. So the next one we see here. Also, it's just, we can see the power of the holy name. It's described that these stones that are floating in the ocean are floating because each one of them has the name of Rama engraved on it. The ones that didn't, they actually sank. So also, the heart of the living entity will not sink in the ocean of birth and death if we chant the holy names. So we should be very... The holy names are so powerful that when there was doing one consideration, like try to just see how inconceivable and impossible. You can't even compare the holy name. So there's four things. One is that you have, say you have 1 crore, there's 10 million cows. You should be give those, this says, to a worthy brahmana at the solar eclipse. Imagine the benefit of doing that. 10 million cows given to a worthy brahmana during a solar eclipse. And then the second thing, just think what the benefit would be to live on the bank of the Ganges for 1 day of Lord Brahma. That there's so much benefit from that. What's 1 day of Lord Brahma? It's like, how many? 8,400,000 years, right? 8.6? It's amazing. And say you were to perform, the third thing, perform 10,000 fire sacrifices. You know how much expense a fire sacrifice takes? It's amazing. We read in the Bhagavatam. And not only that, but to give a mountain of gold coins. You're supposed to do that. But all that, all those three things, is not equal to chanting Govinda's names. So just see, Sankirtan is so powerful. You can't even compare it. But another nice verse in this next chapter, verse 24, I'll read. The person having got it, Ramchandra, being aggrieved for his distant, intimate friend, Sita, glanced over the city of the enemy, Ravana, with red-hot eyes like those of Hara, who wanted to burn the kingdom of heaven. The great ocean, trembling in fear, gave him his way because its family members, the aquatics like the sharks, snakes, and crocodiles, were being burnt by the heat of the angry, red-hot eyes of the Lord. Prabhupada talks in the purport there to showing how the Lord has sentiments. He can, he can show sentiment like anger. You know, he can also show sorrow, so many things, because he's a supreme person. He has sentiment, but the impersonalists cannot imagine. They go, how could he become angry? But they don't realize his anger is not like your anger. You know, his eyes glancing doesn't cause, it could cause all the aquatics to become hot and start to burn. So this is described in that. So the next verse I'd like to read from the next chapter is 25. When Ravana was engaged in the battle, the trunk of the elephant which carried the king of heaven, Indra, broke in pieces, having collided with the chest of Ravana, and the scattered broken parts illuminated all directions. Ravana therefore felt proud of his prowess and began to loiter in the midst of the fighting soldiers, thinking himself the conqueror of all directions. But his laughter, overtaken by joy, along with his very life, air of life, suddenly ceased with the tingling sound of the bow of Ramchandra, the personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada says in the purport there, however powerful a living being may be, when he's condemned by God, no one can save him. And similarly, however weak one may be, if he is protected by the Lord, no one can annihilate him. What's that verse? Yeah, Rakhe Krishna. Okay. Yeah, so that's very beautiful. So, there's only one thing left to do. Only one real thing. As Prabhupada wrote a letter to Kirti Raj in 1975 from Bombay, he said, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kolo nasteva, 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 katir anyata. So what is that verse? The people of this age, or it says, in this age of Kali, there is no other means, nor other means, nor other means for self-realization than the chanting of the holy name, chanting of the holy name, chanting of the holy name of Lord Hari. So this is what Srila Prabhupada told Kirtiraj in that letter. He quoted this verse word for word. Chant Hare Krishna, induce others to chant and distribute prasadam. This can be done everywhere. Who will object? Temple or no temple, you simply chant and give prasadam and it will act. And he wrote another letter to Christopher in 1968 from Santa Fe. And Prabhupada here, he also quotes that verse. He says, I can understand that you're mixing with a crowd of hodgepodge men talking about anything else but the holy name. But none of them will ever get the real thing by such hodgepodge philosophy. We're following a standard philosophy acknowledged by standard acharyas. Namely, and he quotes the verse, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Kevalam, Kolo Nasdeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. So he says here, he continues in his letter, the people of this age are short duration of life. They're very slow in the matter of seriously understanding spiritual importance of life. And even some of them are inclined, like yourself, by misfortune, to associate with hodgepodge men. And he mentions them in his letter. Should we mention them? Okay. Namely, Yogananda, Alan Watts, Maharishi, Leary, I can't believe Timothy Leary, etc. Because they are unfortunate and severely disturbed in mind on account of various frustrations and desires. So that's show you, it doesn't matter who you think you are, how great you are, anything else but these two realities, you're just going to end up frustrated and, you know, full of misery. So I guess we went over a little time. I don't know if anyone wants to make any comments or questions. Yes, Rabindranath Prabhu.
Yeah, you mentioned about Lord Shiva had so many verses from the Ramayana, like cores of verses. Where's that mentioned at?
I forget the name of the scripture, but I mean, I could find it for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Any other comments, questions, realizations? Yes, Mother.
Appreciate your classes because they're nicely researched and you have a lot of realization. And I was just thinking about, you know, how many secrets, big secrets there are kept at New Dwarka. And one of those was started by some of these paintings. I've never seen them anywhere before. And beautiful paintings. I've seen many of them, but there were a few that I've never seen anywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's a great treasure that's being held. Another that's a treasure that's being held captive is Srila Prabhupada's rooms, which are always locked, and one can rarely get to go inside. The other one that is starting to evolve is that Prabhupada's garden is always being locked these days, and devotees don't have access. So I think that Lord Chaitanya, he came to break open the storehouse of the mercy and give out the mercy. So I think we follow in his footsteps, if I'm not wrong. Thank you. Hare Krishna. In other words, don't lock it.
It's interesting you mentioned Dwarka and so many secrets in Dwarka. You know what Dwarkadish used to do at night? He used to hear the Ramayana chant about Lord Ram. And in order to find out about Prabhupada's room, you have to talk to Rabindranath or Jagadambika. Jagadambika, right? You have to talk to her. And about the garden, you have to talk to Naikatma. Yeah. Maybe you should incorporate Ishtagoshis again. Prabhupada wanted to have that, actually. We discussed the philosophy, not just complaints, but discuss how we can improve devotional service and how to be enlivened. So, Jai, thank you for your kind attention. I'll go to Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.